Chapter 5 School Days. Hey, Catherine, how'd you feel about going to boarding school? Bruce's question caught me by surprise. I was 14 years old and I'd be going to the local high school in Endergrove, Mackay. I was so shy, I used to wear a cap to school every day so no one could see my face. But if my parents thought that boarding school was a good idea, then it was okay with me. Who knows, I thought. It might even be interesting. Little did I know what I was getting myself into. The headmaster of my old school arranged for me to get a scholarship to Fairholm College, an exclusive girls' school in Toowoomba. Toowoomba is a city in southeast Queensland, about 2 hours' drive from Brisbane. The day I left good old Mackay and the safety of my wonderful family was the day I left home forever. We didn't realise it at the time, but I would never live with my parents full-time again. We packed up all my things and piled into the car for the long trip south to Toowoomba. As we drove through the school's massive front gates, I couldn't get over how big and old the buildings were. Bruce parked our dusty Holden right next to a shiny Mercedes-Benz. I had never seen anything like this place before, but I wasn't scared or nervous. I was more intrigued. The school principal, Mr. Farraga, met us in the entrance courtyard. Although he said hello and shook hands with Bruce, he didn't seem overly warm or friendly. I thought he looked like the serious type. "Come this way," he said, and led us into his office. Bruce started talking straight away about my running abilities. He was really excited that I'd get the chance to train with one of Australia's best coaches, Paul Faithful, while I was at Fairholm. Mr. Farraga looked from Bruce to me and frowned. "We have some rules and regulations at this school, Catherine," he said. "It may have been different at your old school, but here at Fairholm, hair colour is not permitted." He was talking about the grey streaks in my dark brown hair. I'd spent the week before doing work experience at a hairdresser's and thought it would be fun to experiment a little. Apparently, this wasn't allowed at Fairholm. My new school had a long list of rules. No more would I be free to dye my hair or paint my nails any colour I wanted. Fairholm girls were only allowed to wear two types of earrings, studs or sleepers, and their school uniforms had to be knee length or longer. They even had to wear the same types of bows in their hair. It was definitely a change from the relaxed life I had enjoyed back in Mackay. I shared a room with three other girls. It was your typical boarding school bedroom. The curtains were old and faded, and the carpet wasn't anything to write home about, either. The bed linen was plain white, but at least we got to have our own towels. We also had our own cupboards and drawer space. Some of the bigger rooms had mirrors and hand basins, but we had to share a bathroom with the other girls on our level of the dorm. I soon learnt that boarding school was all about routine. Every moment of your day was organised, with no room for anything else unless you got permission first. Dinner was at the same time every night in the huge communal dining room. We sat about 10 girls to a table and helped ourselves to food from the buffet. It actually wasn't too bad. We even got to eat desserts like ice creams, puddings, and jelly. At home, we'd only eaten desserts on special occasions. Besides the dining room, my favourite place to hang out was the common room. This is where I went to relax and watch TV, listen to music, read books, or just chat to friends. Spending time in the common room was fun, and it made me forget about my homesickness. It was hard to be away from my family, especially in a place that was so different to Mackay. First of all, there was the weather. Summers in Mackay were generally hot and humid, with temperatures in the 30s and winters no colder than around 15 degrees Celsius. In Toowoomba, it could get as cold as 5 degrees Celsius, quite a bit cooler than I was used to. My first year at Fairholm was a real test. In the winter, I wore tracksuit pants rolled up under my school uniform to try and keep warm. The lifestyle in Toowoomba was also really different. Mackay's tropical climate made it very laid back. They say the tropics make people go troppo, They live and work at a slower pace. It's nice. Toowoomba certainly didn't have the same tropical holiday feel, and the people were much more conservative. My first term at Fairholme was 10 weeks long. After only a month, 10 weeks started to feel like forever. One night I called Mum and we both ended up in tears. "Mum, I want to come home," I cried into the phone. I felt so sad and alone. All I wanted was to be hugged by my mum. "You have to come and get me." "Darling, of course I'll come get you," Mum said. "Everything will be okay." I found out later that Mum had hung up the phone and marched straight to Bruce. "I'm getting on the first bus down there and bringing her straight home," she told him. But Bruce put his foot down. He knew that I'd be better off at Fairholme, especially in terms of my running. Eventually, he talked Mum around. He was right, but it was a huge adjustment. I missed coming home from school every day and seeing people smiling and laughing together, or singing and playing the guitar. None of the students seemed to smile much at Fairholme. They were too busy worrying about their grades or what other people thought of them. Some nights I cried myself to sleep, burying my face in the pillows so the other girls wouldn't hear. I just didn't seem to fit in. For starters, I was the only Aboriginal girl at the school. Out of 600 students, there were only two other black girls, a boarder from Papua New Guinea and a day girl whose parents were from Africa. But it wasn't just the colour of my skin. My attitude was different too. Most of the girls at Fairholme took school very seriously. The pressure to do well was so intense that many of them would break down if they got an A instead of an A+. They were obsessed by the idea of becoming doctors or lawyers or politicians. I just wasn't like that. I spent a lot of time in class staring out the window in my own little dream world. I would have much rather been playing sport than sitting in a classroom. In terms of Cathy Freeman being a model A student, well, I certainly wasn't. There were a few girls at school who were more like me. They were usually country girls who were down to earth and easygoing. We weren't really part of the cool crowd, but we were happy enough not to be. My closest friends were Liney, Tania, Madonna, and Donna. Liney was great fun. She and I once played a trick on our roommate Roberta. Roberta was fairly serious, so Liney and I thought it would be fun to stir her up a bit. One day after class, Liney came up with a plan. "Hey, Catherine," she said, "let's take Roberta's mattress out while she's not here. Come on." Together we pulled Roberta's mattress off its wooden frame. But once we dragged it out of the room, we realized we didn't have anywhere to put it. "I know," Liney said. "Let's hide it in the storeroom." We scurried down the hallway to the storeroom at the other end. With a mighty effort, we threw the mattress into the dark room. Phew, I was so relieved when we closed the storeroom door. Liney and I got the giggles as we waited for Roberta to come back to our room. Unfortunately, she didn't think our joke was all that funny, and went straight to the head matron to dob us in. Next thing we knew, we were being hauled down to her office. "Catherine Freeman and Liney West," Miss Johnson yelled. "What did you think you were doing?" I was looking at my shoes, but Liney spoke up. "We didn't really mean any harm, miss," she said. "It's not like anyone got hurt." As punishment, Miss Johnson put us on dining room duties for a week. Liney and I decided our prank had been worth it. Anything to break up the boring day-to-day routine of school life. The weekends were better. One time I was invited to stay at Tania's place so that we could go horse riding. I loved horses. They reminded me of the Christmases we spent out at Warrabinda with Dad. I feel so close to nature when I'm on a horse. Whether I'm just trotting or galloping at full speed, it always makes me happy. When I ride, it's like I'm at one with the earth and the horse. I can feel the energy forces that come up off the ground. It's the same feeling as the one I get through the tips of my feet when I run. It's awesome, like flying. The cheekiest girl in our group was definitely Madonna. Her family owned and ran a cattle property in central western Queensland. She was a real cowgirl. She even took part in rodeos and used to ride bucking bulls. Madonna was different to the other girls at Fairholme. She didn't like to conform. She was a tomboy who had a passion for jeans and hated wearing skirts or dresses. Some people saw her as a tough, smart-mouthed ratbag, but I thought she was great. "You've got to live your life," she used to tell me. "Take the bull by the horns." Our friend Donna was also fairly wild. She once painted the principal's cat green. I can still remember the look on his stony face when he spoke to us about it at assembly. "I'm absolutely disgusted," he said, "that someone at this school, some criminal, would do something like this. My cat could have been killed." We all stood there terrified. Before Donna could confess, the principal threatened to take away some of our privileges unless the culprit came forward. What a drama. Even though the principal was deadly serious, I couldn't help but see the funny side of the whole situation. Luckily, Donna had used water-based paint, so the poor cat wasn't harmed. After a few months at Fairholme, I got the nickname Flowers. My birthday is on the 16th of February, 2 days after Valentine's Day. That year my parents sent me a huge bunch of flowers, but they arrived a day early on the 15th. When I collected them from the office, I had to walk past a group of girls hanging out in the veranda. "Hey Catherine," one of them called out, "did someone send you flowers for Valentine's Day?" "Ooh," another girl chimed in, "Catherine's got a boyfriend." They teased me for days afterwards, and from then on, my name wasn't Catherine Freeman anymore. It was Flowers. The truth was, I wasn't that interested in boys. I was too shy. In fact, I usually ran away from people of the opposite sex. I really did. My first kiss had given me the biggest shock of my life. I was only 9 years old and my mum had sent me out looking for Norm. After I'd trudged the streets searching everywhere for him, I decided to check the house of one of his friends. Out of nowhere, this boy planted a great big sloppy kiss on my lips. Yuck, I thought, how disgusting. The next time someone tried to kiss me, I was 15. We were at a school dance, and I kept shoving bread into my mouth so this boy wouldn't get the chance to kiss me. But it didn't work. He kissed me anyway. Eventually, I learned to make the best of things at Fairholme. Sport helped. I was always training for one sport or another. If it wasn't running, it was basketball or touch football. My main rival in athletics was a girl named Kylie. We were always polite to each other, but I think the fact that I was faster than her got on her nerves. She'd been the top athlete at the school before I came along. Even though I was winning races, the head coach didn't seem to take me that seriously. I got on better with one of the teachers, Mr. Cesarago. Cess coached me in high jumps and really believed in my talent. One day he gave me a framed black and white photograph of me high jumping. Underneath the picture, he'd written a message and also a quote from the former President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt. "The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today." When the 1988 Olympics were on, Cess let the athletics team out of class so he could watch it on the TV. I was 15 and my two favourite runners were Carl Lewis and Florence Griffith Joyner, also known as FloJo. As we watched them both win medals, Cess turned to me. "You'll be up there with those guys one day," he said. I couldn't believe it. I was used to hearing stuff like this from Bruce, but not from anyone else. To be told that I'd make it to the Olympics by someone who wasn't family meant a lot. "You'll be up there one day." I couldn't get Cess's words out of my head.